The Holy Gospel this day is a reading from the book of St. Matthew in the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing his work, he sent word to his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to await another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I have many friends who have many occupations. One of them happens to be a psychologist. And he encountered parents one day who were doing real well with their three other children. And later in life, they'd had a set of twin boys. The boys were night and day. And of course, the one was born about 7 minutes before the other. Therefore, that makes him older, better. And that would go on and on throughout most of their lives together, as far as I know. But the reason they came to see this friend of mine was they were driving mom and dad crazy. One of the twins had the nickname Grumpy. You know, the kind of guy who walks in and goes, "Yeah, well, okay. How long are we going to be here? Why are we here? Is there anything to eat? When are we leaving?" You know, the grumpy kind. The other kind of guy would walk in and he could find the smallest box in the room that was empty and start to play with it. Happy, contented, wonderful. And they went, "We got to figure this out. What is going on? They're twins." So he said, "I have a little test I'd like to run." And he took them into a room, and in the room, there is minimal equipment. There are pails. There are shovels, the appropriate size, because these two are about five at this point. There's a wagon. Actually, I'm sorry, there's two wagons, one on each side of the room. And now you're wondering what all that's for. Well, in the middle of the room, there's a pile. Pile's about as high as this lectern. The pile has aroma, because it's manure. And the one twin steps up and he goes, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me. I gotta move this. Well, might as well get started." And he starts in on one end. His other twin hasn't said a word. He's digging away, filling the pail, dumping it in, digging away, filling the pail, dumping it in again in the wagon, and just carrying on. My friend lets this go on about 5 minutes, and then he calls the boys out of the room. And for the one boy who's not said a word, who's digging away, he wants to know what is giving him such joy that he's going after it. And he says, oh, if we got a pile that big to move, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. They were like that all their lives. And there are people like that that you and I both know who don't do well with the unexpected. We like everything in order. We like everything to be just and so. We like everything neat and tidy. I live with one of these people, by the way. My wife is like this when she gets really German. Everything is just and so. And I know it's going to be really bad when she gets this line out. She says, yes, I have ways to make you like this. That usually doesn't go over too well because there's something coming. But you see, the people are expecting things, what they're after, what they want, what they're desiring in their hearts and souls is this. I want to get out of here. I want this Roman occupation to stop. I want the oppression to stop. I want the taxes to stop. So says Jesus, you went out to see, you went out to see, you went out to see, you went out to see a whole lot of things. And here's what you got. You got Isaiah 40. You got a prophet. But I want to tell you about that prophet, says Jesus, and then promptly puts him in his place. If you think this guy is it, not even warm. He might look like the latest thing on YouTube, but he's not even warm. The people who inhabit heaven, the least of those, they're bigger than he is. They got more grip, they got more pull, they got more power. The least of the people in heaven. And all of a sudden, he's taken all that nice order of theirs and flipped it again. Because he says, behold, God is doing new and wonderful and amazing things. And if you take a good look, it happens. And it happens to important people as well as regular people, but it happens to all of us. When we plan Christmas, we plan trees, we plan lights, we plan presents, we plan gatherings. And that hasn't happened for 2 years, Pastor. What's this one going to look like? I had that asked of me this past week. What's Christmas going to be this year, Pastor? I said, hopefully better than the last two. They said, yeah, we saw one you did. And it's out there. It's online. You have to pull out Mount Olivet, but it's out there where it was I and a pianist sitting there. And we did the whole Christmas service in about 20 minutes. And that was Christmas. And afterwards, I said to God, are you kidding me? That was nothing close to Christmas. And the Lord said, yes, it was, because you were talking about my son. That's what came to me right at that moment. God says, I will do it my way. I will do it in the way I have fashioned. And I am giving you this gift that is me present in your life. Me walking around. Me giving you wisdom. Me giving you health. Me giving you salvation. I will do this my way. And so consequently, when we bump into things like you're told a month before Christmas that your oldest child has died, God says, I am there. When you are told you have just won $17 million in the lottery right before Christmas, God says, I am there. And every situation, dear friends, in between, God says, I am there because I come into this world to be with you and all that you experience. And that's why I would ask, dear friends, especially as we get closer now in this last 2 weeks to Christmas, that we are with one another as we can as much be with one another, because there are those who are still suffering. There are those who are rejoicing. There are those who are laughing and those who are crying. And God says, I want you to be family for each other, because this is the gift I give to all of you as we work in the kingdom. Amen.